This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
In Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to the basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting rolled, banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something, I can really do this.
And we are joined now by James Henderson from PacPride.com, the Scout.com affiliate for NC State sports. If you need to know anything about NC State sports, you head on over to PacPride.com. James, thanks for joining us today. Lots to talk about.
Definitely. I appreciate you having me on.
So first things first, it's been a bit of an up and down season for NC State. Started the season against non-Power 5 opponents, certainly, but were dominant in putting right. Those teams out. And, you know, you talked – one of the guys that I really like in terms of analytics and so on in college football is Bill Connolly. And one of the things he likes to say is you can sort of tell when teams are quality teams by a couple things. They either beat other quality teams or they just destroy the bad teams. So if you take care of business against bad teams, that gives you an indication that you're actually a decent team. Well, North Carolina State did that. They took care of business against bad teams earlier this year. But then when the schedule stiffened a little bit, there's some hiccups. So can you talk a little bit about where this NC State program is now as we're heading into the last third of the season?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great analogy because, you know, they started the year out with four non-conference games against non-Power 5 schools. But the thing that I thought was interesting was they actually played two of them on the road. You know, one was at Old Dominion and the other was at South Alabama. And again, those aren't heavyweights, but both of those programs stated that they were the biggest games in the program's history.
Yeah, why even play those games on the road? That was baffling to me because usually you play those teams at home to get yourself an extra home game. Why do that?
Right. They did the Old Dominion game to try and help with recruiting in Norfolk. You know, that's kind of an area that's in flux right now, the Tidewater with Virginia Tech head coaching situation. So I think NC State just wants to kind of get a foot in up there. And South Alabama was just an old return game that they'd scheduled under the previous athletic director. But the thing about
gotcha.
It was both of those games were the first Power 5 opponent at home for both of those schools. So they were two sellout games. You imagine they would play well, you know, crowd. I mean, for those environments, I mean, that can be a tricky situation to go and play in a sellout environment with 30,000 fans, you know. So it's kind of a tough environment. And like you said, NC State went into both of those places and the games were over in the third quarter. You know, they had their subs in and, I mean, blew them both out. South Alabama was actually just coming off a win at San Diego State. So I think the state felt like that was going to be a tougher test, but they really went in there and took care of them. And then I think the thing that got tricky for NC State was that led up to their first game against Louisville. And midweek that Wednesday night, Shadrack Thornton got into an incident, the NC State's, star running back. I mean, he came into the year, was preseason first team all ACC, you know, at running back. And he got into an incident, which was his third off-the-field incident.
Yeah, and this was a really minor one, as I recall. It was basically a hit-and-run situation with his scooter, if I remember correctly.
Right, and so, you know, that happened Wednesday night. And so up to that point, State had put their game plan in for the Louisville game. Everything was kind of centered around having Thornton and Matt Days at running back. And that Thursday, they kicked him off the team permanently. So the game plan was in. You know, it created kind of a media situation. And I really think that kind of hurt how they played, you know, me personally. They had to make some adjustments on the fly kind of to prepare for that. And, didn't win the game. I mean, they had two turnovers, lost a close game to Louisville. Followed it up playing at Virginia Tech, led in that game 10-0 in the second quarter, and then their starting safety goes out, Akeem Jones, they're one of the few seniors on their team. And two plays later, the guy that replaced him was beat for a double move for a touchdown, and Virginia Tech scored three touchdowns in the second quarter and went on to win that game by I think, 10 or 13 points, something like that. And so kind of that's where they really hiccuped. And then I think they got things kind of going in the right direction after their bye. Played Clemson tough, and you know last week went up and won at Boston College. really for this team, I think the staple, I mean, kind of the big signature aspect of the season so far has been how well they've played on the road. You know, they played five games and they're 4-1 on the road right now, with the only loss being that game at Virginia Tech. And I think NC State feels like if Jones didn't get dinged up in that game, he actually came back the next week, they would have beat Virginia Tech. But, you know, that's where it is right now, and I think they're trying to – they're hoping they can go on the road and get their fifth win somehow against Florida State.
Yeah, and I think maybe the thing that aside from – basically the impression of not having played anybody in the off season. The other thing that Florida State fans will have obviously paid attention to coming into this game is NC State gave Clemson all they could handle. And you know, that 56-41, they dropped 41 points on a very good Clemson defense. That was a home game, and yes, they did lose that game, but that was a game where, you know, Clemson scored fairly easily most of the game, but that NC State offense with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback and all that has been dangerous over the years, and really showed in that game that when he's on, they can really be a difficult to handle offense. What do you think that this NC State offensive staff is looking at when they're coming into this Florida State game? Where do you think they're going to try to attack this Florida State defense? What do you think their approach is going to be?
Yeah, you know, that Clemson game, it could have been even bigger. You know, they missed the field goal, and they had two drives inside the red zone that they scored no points on. So I agree with you. For them to score 41 points on Clemson's defense, I thought was really impressive. And what they did, and it's really been kind of what they've done coming out of their bye, which was 4 weeks ago, they've just been really aggressive offensively. You know, they've got some speed on the skill positions with Maurice Trowell and Naheem Hines, two freshmen. They run sub 4.440s. They've been just taking multiple shots down the field to those guys. You know, Trowell has caught two 70-plus yard touchdowns in that stretch. Hines has a similar catch like that. I mean, they've just been really aggressive with their passing game. I mean, what they felt was happening to them in the losses at Louisville and Virginia Tech was teams were playing press man coverage outside, and NC State didn't take shots deep on them. You know, they just tried to rely on their running game and win close games. And I think they went into that bye week feeling like the defense is strong. We being NC State, we need to be more aggressive offensively because we've got a top 10 defense right now. So if we make some mistakes offensively, and you know, one of the things about Brissett is he doesn't make many mistakes. But if you do make mistakes, you've got a defense you feel like you can rely on. So they've just been really aggressive from a play-calling standpoint, you know, taking shots down the field against one-on-one coverage, you know, trying to have some man-beaters in because a lot of teams have had to load the box to stop, you know, their running game. You know, it went up to Boston College, had over 130 yards rushing at BC. I think FSU played up there. I mean, that's a good defense Boston College has, you know, and NC State.
Certainly against the run, especially.
Right, and NC State, you know, I mean, they had two rushing touchdowns against Boston College. It was the first time this year they've given up two rushing touchdowns in a game. And that was without Thornton and Matt Days, who came into the year, you know, their top two running backs. So I think they're going to try and really run the football against FSU. If you look at some of FSU's numbers against the run, I think they've kind of been hit or miss a little bit. That's just me kind of looking at the stats, so I haven't watched them obviously as much as you. But I think State's going to try and get the running game going, but I also think they're going to try and really work in an aggressive passing game and maybe some no huddle, some up-tempo to try and get things going. I just believe they're going to go in there and try and play aggressive, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and of course Florida State's going to invite anybody to attack their two corners. They may have the best set of corners in the country with Ramsey and White. White, who's been a real revelation this year at the field corner side, and obviously Ramsey, who many pro scouts regard as the top cornerback in the country. So they'll welcome that, but they've had some problems defending the slot receivers. So it'll be interesting to see what Doran and that offense
And just to jump into that, you know, I know you're really up on the skilled talent on each side of the ball, but I think Clemson's corner, McKenzie Alexander,
yeah.
He's kind of the same, you know, reputation-wise, one of the top guys in the country. And I think State attempted 9 passes at him. You know, they only completed 3, I believe. But the reason I wanted to point that out is it just proves they're taking shots at, you know, at top corners. They're going to throw the ball. So you're right. I think FSU's corners are going to have a chance to make some plays. Maybe they haven't got in other games just because State's going to try and just – if they face man coverage, they're going to try and throw the ball to their guys. And, you know, maybe they'll be successful, maybe they won't. But I don't think it's going to be one of those deals where you see the field being cut off, you know, because some teams just don't throw at this guy.
Right. And when we look at the rushing situation for NC State, I mean, that to some degree may impact this as well. I mean, you mentioned Shadrack Thornton being dismissed earlier in the year, and he was averaging 6.7 yards per carry at that point. I mean, he was a quality back. And then, you know, Matt Days came in and replaced him very well, again, averaging about 6.5 yards per carry and against better competition overall, played really well over the course of the year. And now he's hurt and he's out for the year. What's the situation going to be at running back? Who steps in and how they looked so far for NC State? Because again, Days was very good against Clemson. He was a big part of that attack when they played Clemson. So how's that going to be addressed in coming into this game on the running side?
It's funny. What they've done is they've moved Jalen Samuels, who's sort of their H-back tight end.
He's a tight end, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very unique player and really a tough matchup. He had a great game against Clemson. You know, after Days went down, he came in and they moved him to running back. He had 6 carries for 65 yards and a touchdown. And he had another touchdown in the receiving game. I mean, he's kind of going to be the primary runner, but he doesn't get a full workload at running back because he's so valuable in their passing game and lining up at tight end and trying to get some mismatches. So I think they're going to try and start with him. And, you know, against Boston College, he had 8 for 32 and a touchdown on the ground. So as you can tell, he doesn't get the workload that Days gets, but he's going to be kind of the primary guy.
Yeah, and he's a big back. He's about, 230,
yeah,
235?
Yeah, he's 6'1", maybe 235. He runs 4.55. I mean, really fast. I mean, he's just a matchup problem. You know, I mean, you look at his numbers statistically, I think he's right now is second in the league in touchdowns behind Dalvin Cook. You know, he's got 12 total touchdowns this year. He's just a major weapon for them. I mean, and they're really, I think he's going to be a bigger weapon in the passing game. They try and get him matched up on linebackers and guys like that where they feel like he can exploit them. And then the other options they have are two young guys, DeQuay Nichols and Reggie Gillespie. You know, they're talented. They're just young. You know, both of them came in and played fairly well against Boston College. Again, I think it's just going to be they mix them in, you know, and rotate them. And finally, the fourth is Nyheim Hines. You know, he was a highly rated recruit NC State signed over teams like Clemson and Ohio State, a true freshman. He's mainly played slot receiver, but he was a running back in high school. And for the first time against Boston College, they lined him up at running back, and he got some carries there. Just a really explosive player. I talked about him a little earlier at receiver. But they're going to try the same thing. They're going to try and use him at running back and get him some carries, but also get him involved in the passing game where hopefully they can get him matched up on some linebackers and some safeties and really take advantage of his speed.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, from the Florida State side, the thing that may be the most surprising is the name that's not mentioned, a guy who's redshirting with Johnny Frazier, who's been doing his Dalvin Cook impression in practice, being a five-star freshman that ultimately he was a commit to Florida State for about 9 months before flipping to NC State. This maybe the most surprising thing has been that he redshirted this year and was just apparently not ready to go. So what's been happening with him? And just out of curiosity on that end.
Yeah, they've been raving about Frazier the last 2 weeks. You know, what happened with him was he came in the fall a little overweight. He had some off the field issues with his family he had to deal with during fall camp. You know, some illnesses in his family, so he was away from the team for a few days, and he just really fell behind. You know, and you got to think at that point, NC State had Shadrack Thornton and Matt Daves locked in as their 1 and 2 running backs. Reggie Gillespie was another 4-star recruit. He had actually enrolled in January, so he was ahead of Frazier from the playbook standpoint. And Frazier just fell behind, and really they just made a decision to go ahead and redshirt him and get him in shape and let him just be their scout team guy. Each week, and I think that's really helped NC State's defense. You know, I mean, you know how it is when you're you want the best representation you can get when you're preparing for guys. And no one's saying Johnny Frazier's Dalvin Cook, but I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that he's a talented running back. And you know, I mean, a lot of times when teams have, you know, walk-ons or guys like that serving as your scout team running back, you're just not getting a good look at all. And for State to kind of go against his speed and upside at that position every week, I mean, not even just for the Florida State game, it's really helped their defense. And I think they've talked about that the last couple of weeks, how that's helped make their defense even stronger, being able to get a look from him each week as a representation of what they're going to face on Saturday.
Yeah, and it's a good reminder, again, that five-star freshmen, even the best five-star freshmen, rarely are true instant impact guys. I mean, a lot of a lot of fans, a lot of Florida State fans have been frustrated by some of the five-star freshmen on the offensive side of the ball who haven't played as much this season. But the reality is, you know, guys who contribute right away are the exception rather than the rule. Even in a place that has a little bit more potential for early playing time, like you'd expect with NC State. So, just briefly, let's flip to the other side of the football and talk about what NC State, the problems that NC State might provide for Florida State on the offensive side. Obviously, Florida State is a different kind of offense this year from what they were last year when they were able to basically throw the football whenever and wherever they wanted to with Jameis Winston and that set of experienced wide receivers and experienced offensive line, all of that. This year, it's Dalvin Cook in a power running game, but NC State presents some problems for that. I mean, the strength of that defense seems to be up front, but why don't you fill us in on where things are now, sort of where the NC State defense is, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up shortly after that.
Yeah, you know, I think this has been the biggest surprise of NC State's teams, how well their defense has played. You know, they start essentially 8 sophomores and 3 seniors, and 10 of their top 13 tacklers are sophomores. So it's a really young defense, and right now they're statistically in the top 10 to 15 nationally in pretty much every defensive category, you know. And I think it's kind of been what you said earlier about the non-conference schedule. If you take away the Clemson game, every team they faced, they've held below their scoring and yardage average, which is all you can ask for of a defense, kind of regardless of the competition. And where they're really strong, that's up front. You know, they're 10th in the country in sacks. You know, they have 2 really good defensive end. Mike Rose, he actually leads the ACC in sacks with 9.5 in 9 games. Bradley Chubb, a sophomore, is really, really talented. He's coming off a week at Boston College where he was named ACC Defensive Lineman of the Week. And I think the thing that's interesting with them with facing Florida State is for the first time, maybe all year, if McGuire's the quarterback, I don't really know what the situation is, but if he's playing quarterback.
Yeah, it does look like he'll be the guy.
Yeah, it'll be the first time they face a drop-back passer. And they can really kind of tee off and go after him. I mean, every team they've played, whether it's Boston College, Clemson, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, Louisville, have all had mobile quarterbacks with the run threat option. And so they really haven't been able to kind of pin their ears back and go because they've had to worry about a guy being on the move. So I think that kind of gives them a little hope facing Florida State, is knowing that they'll maybe be able to have a target really kind of stay in the pocket. And that they can kind of pressure. But, yeah, I think with NC State's defense, it starts up front. And also because of Florida State's scheme, you know, the max protection is a concern for NC State. They're a little worried about that because, you know, they feel like Florida State may be able to scheme up some stuff blocking-wise where they can maybe outnumber State's defensive front and allow their big play weapons to get open deep. So I think it's going to be for State a race to the quarterback in a sense. And obviously, you know, you're worried about Dalvin Cook, but I mean, you can't really do anything to just kind of prepare, you know, prepare for him. And really the talk all week from State on Cook has just been, let's limit his big plays. You know, he's going to get his yardage. He's going to get his numbers, but let's not give up the 80-yard touchdown runs. Let's not give up the plays like that. You know, let's try and keep him in the field of play and make Florida State really earn their touchdown. So I think you're going to see State do a lot of run blitzes. You know, I think they're going to try and really, to be honest with you, make Sean McGuire beat him with his arm. Are all the indications I have. I think State's going to try and load the box and take away the run, which I'm sure Florida State's seen all year, though, so that's probably nothing new.
Yeah, when you're not having great quarterback play and you've got one of the top couple running backs in the country back there, that tends to be what you get. So,
by the way, I just want to tell you this: I think he's the best running back in the country. That's just my personal opinion.
I think he certainly may be when he has 2 healthy legs.
Right. I just think like I was watching, and look, I think Wayne Gallman's good, but I was watching the FSU Clemson game, but it wasn't close. And I know there's some other running backs in the country. You know, Fournette gets a lot of, but man, Cook's just fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, and what's remarkable is he's been running on one leg. I mean, he's, you know, against Clemson, he was maybe 60-65%, and he's still special. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and put you on the spot here. What do you expect to see in this game this weekend from the NC State side? So what are your expectations?
You know, I think they're a confident group right now. You know, I mean, if you look back to last year's game against Florida State, I think State felt like they let one slip away. You know, they jumped up 24-7 on them. And Florida State was able to come back, and that was a really talented team last year. But I think for State, they're going to go down there and play with a lot of aggression and almost feel like they're playing with house money in a sense. You know, they're bowl eligible now. They've got winnable games left against Syracuse and North Carolina. I think you're going to see them go down there and just play aggressive on both sides of the ball and see what happens. I think the impression I get from them is they wonder where Florida State's mindset's at right now. You know, and I think you probably would agree, you know, mentally it matters a lot more in college athletics. And coming off of a tough loss like that against Clemson, you know, where you really now don't have a chance to win the division, is Florida State going to come out flat? You know, where are they going to be? And I think if you're NC State, you're going to go down there and try to start fast if you can, put some pressure on them and see kind of where they're at mentally and see if you can win a four-quarter game.
All right, my guest has been James Henderson from PacPride.com. James, thank you again for joining us, and look forward to an interesting and hopefully entertaining game on Saturday.
Thanks, Jason. I appreciate it.
Once again, this is the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples, and thanks again to James Henderson from PacPride.com for providing us with some great information there on the NC State program. Now, turning to Florida State, looks like the starting quarterback is going to be Everett Golson yet again. Now, there's been some scuttlebutt that maybe Sean McGuire was injured in some way later in the week, that he's not entirely healthy. I've asked around a little bit on that, and basically the early responses actually have suggested that may not be the case. It just may be that they decided to go with Golson this week, which is entirely possible, given the discussions that were had in the week leading up to Clemson. That I know that the coaching staff was very torn about that decision, even with Golson having been only cleared later in the week. They were still really torn about that decision because Golson generally is the better, it has been the better option. They felt like he has been the better option all year for some good reasons. Now, obviously, McGuire does push the ball down the field, gives you some other things that Golson doesn't in that regard, but I do think that when you look at what they both bring to the table, Golson's ability to throw in the short zones and to put the ball in decent locations in the seams may ultimately override what McGuire brings to the table. But at the end of the day, I don't know that it's that big of a difference. I think at the end of the day, you basically have two more or less average quarterbacks. Now, Golson might have been something a little bit more than average, as you know, if he'd been in the system a lot longer. But at this point, Florida State's not going to get a whole lot better by starting one quarterback or the other. Neither quarterback is going to be Christian Ponder or E.J. Manuel, let alone Jameis Winston. We can rule him out already. You know, Jameis Winston isn't walking through that door. So, you know, Florida State's not going to get a whole lot better one way or the other. Now, they could potentially get a better matchup against this or that team, depending on who they play, because they do bring different things to the table. But at the end of the day, I don't think this is going to be the thing that determines who wins or who loses on Saturday, on which quarterback plays in this game. But anyway, it is going to be Golson. He's going to be the starter. You know, we'll see exactly how he plays, given, you know, the last 2 weeks where he's not been on the field. I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot of difference, and I wouldn't expect there to be much, but he is playing one of the better defenses that Florida State's played this season, particularly up front. NC State, I mean, Florida State fans will remember the name Kentavious Street, guy who, a defensive lineman, defensive end, defensive tackle prospect who went to NC State over Florida State. And there are a few of those guys on their roster. They've got some guys up front. And that is a concern, because Florida State, the place where, you know, they're going to get basically average quarterback play at this point. But the place where there's really concerns is up front on that offensive line. And I know a lot of fans out there want to blame Rick Trickett and say, well, you know, clearly Rick Trickett is the problem. We need to replace the offensive line coach. Bollocks. My goodness, people. Sometimes you've just got to realize that you've got a really young group of offensive linemen, and in this case, you're on your third right tackle now. with Chad Mivedi now at right tackle and all of $3.5 bills in doing it. This is, you know, Florida State is not in an optimal position up front. I mean, the first thing is that they came into this year knowing that they had to replace four starters from last year. Four guys who are all in the NFL. So that's first and foremost what you've got to do. So they knew that coming in, and then that unit has been just decimated by injuries on top of that. So I think they've had either 9 or 10 different offensive line lineups over the course of the year, including 3 different centers, 4 different guards. I believe it's 4 different guards, and now they're on their 3rd right tackle as both the starter's out for the year now with the knee injuries, having MCL surgery, and then his backup Brock Rubel, who started against Clemson, is now dinged up and he's out for this week, and he's been dinged up at various points through the year as well. So now he's out this week, and so now they're moving a guard who was initially hoping would be the right tackle at the beginning of the year, but he ate himself out of that position during the offseason. Now he's at right tackle. You don't really know how much you can rely on him, and then you've got the 2 guards on the inside, one of whom is playing very hurt, Kareem R. He would be the best interior player they have, but he's certainly not healthy. So you're looking at a banged up offensive line, a group that is young and hasn't really had time to gel at one position or another, because these guys, your right tackle has now played both guard positions over the course of the year at different points. Now he's at right tackle. You've got your 3rd center that's going to be starting this week. He's the 3rd guy they've started at that position. It really has been a bit of a mess up front for Florida State on the offensive line. Everybody is young. You don't have one senior. Florida State does not have one senior who has been in the program. So they don't have one senior starter, but beyond that, the only senior they have on the offensive 2 deep is Everett Golson, who is a graduate transfer. That's how young this offense is for Florida State. So it's not just a bunch of juniors. You're talking about most of this offense, most of the offensive 2 deep is sophomores or below. So you're looking at a team that next year, that Florida State offense in 2016 should be dynamite, and they should be very good up front. But there are a lot of concerns on that offensive line in particular, and just in general, at the wide receiver positions, the tight end group, both of your top 2 tight ends are redshirt freshmen. It's a young group, and there's a lot of concern there when you're that young up on the offensive line, and when you've got guys that haven't even been playing the same position most of the year. There's no time to gel, and then you start getting the thing that Florida State's really been struggling with, particularly on the road, has been lots of motion penalties, false starts, and different issues like that you have when you have 4 new guys on the offensive line, and particularly when you've got 4 new guys on the offensive line that are sophomores and such. So there are some concerns on the offensive line facing a defensive line and front 7 that is better than a lot of people realize. This is actually a pretty good NC State team on that defensive side. So the quarterback will have to make some plays. I mean, Golson's going to have to probably escape some pressure, particularly from that right side. But this is not going to be a walkover on that offensive side or on that side of the ball. You're going to have to get a quality performance from Dalvin Cook, that's for sure. Now flipping over to the defensive side, Jacoby Brissett is a guy who makes things difficult for you, as we saw last year. He as a quarterback, he gives a different, because of his ability to stand in the pocket. He's a big, strong guy. Because of his size and his ability to move as well, his dual threat, and he's kind of a rare dual threat in that he's more like a Big Ben kind of dual threat, kind of able to stand in the pocket, hard to bring down. He'll run some, and he's a good run threat, but not exactly what you might think when you think of a dual threat with a lot of these quicker quarterbacks out there. And that's going to cause some variation. I mean, Florida State's defensive front is going to have to really be mindful of his ability there. And they need to get pressure on him. They need to get their hands up. They need to bother him with their length, although he's so tall that it's not necessarily going to be as easy to do that with him. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how Florida State actually chooses to defend them. Because Florida State has had a little bit of a different plan defensively, particularly up front, depending on if they're playing a more mobile guy or more of a pocket guy. There are certain things that stay the same, but how much pressure they bring and different things like that have had a lot to do with what other teams bring to the table. So with a guy like Brissett, who's, you know, he can challenge you with his arm downfield. He is a pocket guy first and foremost, but he's a really hard guy to get on the ground and is a guy that is more of a threat to break contain. What you expect from Florida State is to run a lot of 4 and 5 man rush pressure in this. They've depended a lot on 4 man pressures. Sometimes they bring a lot. They'll bring fire pressure, so 5 man and go middle of the field close, so single safety high behind that. They've been pressing with the corners a good bit since their corners are so good. But what they'll do is they'll on first and second down, they'll go a little bit bigger on that defensive line, and they're trying to create some penetration there. Particularly, those ends have actually been pretty disruptive, with true freshman Josh Sweat actually being maybe one of the bigger surprises of this Florida State team this year, given that he was coming off of such a bad injury in high school. He's created a lot of pressure, but they're doing a lot of stuff with those base four, and then maybe bring in a guy out of the slot cornerback position, or out of the one of the linebackers, different things. They'll bring different combinations there on first and second down. Third down is where they get a little more creative, and they bring in as many as 4 defensive ends, effectively 4 guys who are listed as defensive ends, putting 2 of them on the inside at defensive tackle, and then 2 on the outside at defensive ends, or just 1 on the outside as defensive end, and bringing another defensive back on the field for a dime package or the 3-man, and then they'll bring all sorts of different looks out of that to create pressure. So that's been the approach. They've been pretty good. I mean, it's not been they've not been, the Florida State of the 1990s in terms of getting pressure on the quarterback, but certainly a big improvement over the kind of pressure that they got on the quarterback last year. And they've done a good job of doing that while keeping contain and keeping quarterbacks who can break contain penned up in the pocket for the most part. So they've done a good job with that. We'll see how they do against a guy who can really present a lot of problems in that game this week. Now, the real concern, I think the biggest concern, pairing with some of those concerns about Jacoby Brissett and his mobility and all that, the biggest concern that Florida State has in this game, and one of the places where it makes NC State not necessarily a good matchup for Florida State defensively, is that NC State gets a lot of their yardage, not from outside wide receivers, similar to Clemson in this regard. Clemson didn't depend on their outside wide receivers, who Florida State could take away with their cornerbacks, and they basically did last week. But NC State gets a lot of production from their running backs and from their tight ends. A ton. I mean, that's the majority of their passing production has come from their backs out of the backfield, tight ends, some guys in the slot, H-backs, that sort of thing. And that's where Florida State has been weaker, is in those coverage spots this season. At safety and linebacker, Florida State, again, has had a lot of injuries. One of their starting safeties is out for the year. He was actually at what they call the star position, which is a sort of hybrid safety linebacker cornerback position. And he's out for the year. That's Trey Marshall. And actually, that defense, interestingly, if you look at the splits earlier in the year, he was ejected from the Miami game for a questionable targeting call. And then the week following, he played part of that game against Louisville, and then tore his bicep, and then he was out for the year. If you looked at those games before he went off the field and after, there was like a 1.5 yards per play difference on defense with him on the field versus him off the field. So that tells you right there why it is a concern that NC State gets so much production in the passing game from their tight ends and their running backs. Because with Marshall out, that's been a big difference. And then Florida State's their other primary safety who can play that kind of role sort of in the box and do different things is Nate Andrews. And Nate Andrews has been playing with a severe bone bruise the last month or so. It's getting a little better, but I mean, obviously he's not all healthy. They've had issues there. They've got another, they're starting now at that star position, a, A former walk-on who's about 175 pounds. He's played well, but, you know, he's more physically limited than some of the guys in that you would expect to see at Florida State in those kinds of positions. They got a true freshman starting at one of the other safeties. Now, he's arguably the best true freshman in the country, regardless of position. If you look at Pro Football Focus, they've got him rated as the best freshman statistically, going off of how they're grading tape of anybody. Derwin James, he's playing great. But you've still got a true freshman there, and then you've got the one guy who's stuck as your senior free safety, and then you've got on the linebacking core, one of their starting linebackers is not about 10 months I think now removed from ACL surgery, and the other is coming off. This is his second week back. Clemson was his first game back from a high ankle sprain. So the linebacking core, their best coverage linebacker, or their second best coverage linebacker, I'd say, is also out for the year. So you look at their back seven. Florida State's back seven on the inside has really been. It's not the group they hope to bring into this year, and you can see that difference on tape. So yes, this is absolutely a place where NC State should try to do as much as they can to take advantage of some of those matchups. And it'll be interesting to see how Florida State decides to defend this. I think they'll do a lot of what they did against Clemson, which is to say, we're going to put our corners out on an island, and that's going to give us the ability to play, you know, 3-on-2 on the inside to protect some of these bad matchups 1-on-1 against the tight end and against the backs and so on, against slot receivers. And they're just going to lean on their corners' ability to win outside without a whole lot of safety help over top. So when I look at this matchup overall, when I'm trying to determine, you know, what expectations should be for this week, the answer isn't necessarily all that comforting for Florida State fans. So I think this is actually a matchup between teams that are a lot more evenly matched than a lot of people realize, mostly because of the records here and because of the names on the jerseys. I mean, people don't look at NC State and go, okay, yeah, that's a team that should compete with Florida State. But I think given just the way that Florida State has had a lot of injury problems, where the matchups fall and all this, this is a game that is a very, very dangerous game for Florida State. And it's a game that I think NC State absolutely can win. So, you know, in terms of matchups, in terms of keys to this game, I think that Florida State first and foremost needs to do a good job of making NC State one-dimensional on offense. Florida State has done a good job over the course of the year stopping the run, particularly when that's been a point of emphasis. There's been a couple times where they've wanted to take a little bit more of the passing game away in terms of making opposing offenses one-dimensional in that regard, but they need to take away. NC State's one of the better rushing offenses in the country. According to the S&P Plus rushing offense ranking, NC State's actually the number one rushing offense in the country, adjusted for opponent and adjusted for pace and all that. So Florida State needs to be strength on strength. Florida State needs to win on the defensive interior with their defensive tackles and be able to force NC State into a little bit more one-dimensional game, and basically make Jacoby Brissett beat them, and particularly make Jacoby Brissett and the NC State offense beat their corners. And if, you know, NC State's able to beat Jalen Ramsey and Marquez White on the outside, you tip your hat and you say, you beat our best, good. You know, congratulations, you earned it. So that's number one. I think Florida State needs to win that interior matchup and stop the run. If they don't do that, then NC State will be in this game for four quarters. I don't think there's any question about that, because they will score some points. On the other side of the ball, I think, again, the real key is whether or not Florida State's offensive line can handle North Carolina State's defensive line, which is a good and active defensive line. Florida State's banged up, like I mentioned, on that offensive line. If Florida State cannot create good space for their running backs, and you know, all of their backs are dinged up between Cook, who's playing at like 65-70% right now, his backup, who's really their third guy, Jaquez Patrick, is battling an ankle injury himself. If Florida State can't run the football and run it with success on first and second down, then they're going to lose the game. I think that's plain and simple it. I have seen a couple cases where Clemson and Louisville were able to have some success throwing the football down the field off play action. Florida State needs to get some of their bigger wide receivers, particularly, but they need to get some of their wide receivers running down the field on some vertical routes and let Sean McGuire take some shots. They need to hit a shot or two to be able to open some things up. That's something I would do if I were Jimbo Fisher early in the game, is give Sean McGuire a couple chances to take some shots, particularly against a quarters coverage look or something like that. See if he can hit a big post or something over the middle, deep, that sort of thing. And then just continue to try to be patient and run the football. So this, in a lot of ways, as much as, you know, it's modern football and, you know, both teams are going to be in a lot of spread formations, particularly NC State, it's funny. It boils down to what you might have said about a lot of football games going back to the early 20th century, which is the team that runs the football with success in this game probably wins this game. And that's going to do it for us here today on the Unconquered Podcast. Once again, just a reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples. But also be, if you are not a subscriber to this podcast, subscribe via iTunes or whatever your podcast subscription tool of choice is. Please rate this podcast on iTunes. Share it with your friends. The more the merrier here. You can also follow Seminole Sports Radio at Seminoles Radio for the latest on FSU sports. Be sure to catch our next podcast, which will cover the results of the NC State game. I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, a VSporto channel. Thanks for listening. I made this.